Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Viking podcast in all of Seattle. I am your host, Parker. Frisbee is gone this week. He went to Boston, Massachusetts. He went there for music and to see the band Sparks, maybe, and Kate Nash. I don't know what he did, but he's gone. Instead, I am joined by Corey from the Illogical Connection radio show / podcast.
Hi. You know what's so funny? I have a friend who looks just like Kate Nash, and her favorite band is Sparks.
That's weird.
I know. Frisbee is like, he's like the Morpheus of my life. He just connects everything.
That's true. I feel the same way about him. Also, I'm not sure if he likes, is Kate Nash the one he likes? I always get it mixed up. He likes somebody named Kate. Is Kate How Nash... Many- Did she
oh,
just?
He likes Kate Bush, not Kate Nash.
Okay, yeah, he likes
Kate Bush. Is definitely not playing in Boston right now, so it's not her.
All right, yeah, I always get it mixed up, but he's gone. Either way, he is gone. But you do a podcast / radio show called Illogical Contraption with your goofy pals.
I do. I just picked up my. We sometimes fool people into thinking that we're legitimate media, mm-hmm. So I just picked up my. San Francisco Film Festival pass, and they used our logo as my ID picture, and our logo happens to be a picture of Fat Glenn Danzig, so that's my ID photo.
I like that. I actually just got a press pass myself because of my new job, and I am 100% going to be using it to try to get Ty West on Junk Food Dinner.
Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome. But wait, how do you get a press pass for working a graveyard shift at a graveyard?
It's like a really cool, like, digital graveyard that also does, okay. Like, media stuff.
Hey, I hung out at a graveyard today.
How was that?
It was awesome and gothic and beautiful, and I drank whiskey. I mean, I'm pretty old, Parker. I think we're of the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard to not think, like, oh, you know, it's time to grow up, Corey. Stop drinking whiskey at a on top of a dead man's grave. But it was really nice. It's pleasant, and I recommend it to everyone. Actually, my co-host Shelby Koalas is the one that put the seed of hanging out at graveyards in my head, because he does it all the time now.
That sounds cool. Does San Francisco / Oakland have like a lot of sweet old-timey graveyards? I would assume.
Yeah, we have one here in the city. Oakland has a way cooler one. But there's a cool place here called a columbarium. Do you know what that is, Parker?
I do not.
That is where it's like this hollowed, like very churchy building where they keep all the ashes of all the dead people who died like hundreds of years ago. So it's very creepy and very haunted, and it's fun. If you're ever in San Francisco, everyone check out the Columbarium.
That sounds fun. Dayton, Ohio, where I'm from, mm-hmm. has a very legitimate, very awesome, super old graveyard that is up on a hill and like overlooks the entire city, and it's pretty rad. I used to go there a lot, but it was like really super spooky, and like I'm really super afraid of ghosts, even though I don't believe in them.
Right.
So I didn't go there like a whole lot, but it was really cool. Jim Van Beber made part of a movie there once. So
what was that movie called?
Deadbeat at Dawn.
Okay, cool. I'm writing that down.
It's a super good movie.
Okay, on my iPad, I'm writing it down with my stylus.
You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the entertainment factor is not that it doesn't last that long to hang out at a graveyard. I think I lasted about 45 minutes maybe, and I'm like, okay, time to go. But have you ever played with a Ouija board, speaking of spirits?
I have not, no, but I wasn't allowed to have one. I wanted to buy one in fifth grade, but my mom told me that one time she played with one and it scared her so bad that I wasn't allowed to have one.
Got it, okay. I played with one time too, and it scared me so bad I'm never going to touch it again. We made our own. Me and my dumb Hesher friends started. We made our own Ouija board, and we read like in some dumb spell book that if you make a circle Ouija board, then that lets all the riffraff demons in. So we were like, oh, cool, let's do this. And we did it, and it like started floating. And I know this sounds like bullshit, but it's not. It started floating, and then all my lights went out, and my microwave exploded.
Man, that sounds pretty rad.
I know, but that was the last time I ever played with a Ouija board. And, you know, I know Ouija boards are nothing. They're just made from, like, Milton Bradley, but still, that happened one time to me. So me and your mom, we got to hang out.
Yeah, well, Milton Bradley, like, they're just making the stuff. Like, I think the power of Ouija boards, like, you could just, like, make a Ouija board on, like, some loose leaf paper, and it would still work the same.
Let's do it now. Everyone out there listening to Pool Party Radio, make your own Ouija board and email Parker and tell him what happens.
Yeah. Unless it's, like, really super scary and you think that the demons will come to me through the email, then don't.
Why are you scared of ghosts if you don't believe in ghosts?
Because, you know, it's like you get real scared at night. Like, this one time I was hanging out at my old work in Dayton, Ohio, in a town where, like, tons and tons of people died from a tornado.
Oh.
And, like, I would hang out there late at night because I got off work later than everybody.
Right.
And, like, there was, like, some legit scary noises that I don't think could be... like described by any like scientific means. I don't know. I mean, like knocking and like slamming and stuff. I don't know. I mean, it was like a super old building. It was like 100 years old or something. So maybe like pipes just work differently. But I mean, I don't intellectually believe that they were ghosts because I think that when you die, you just become worm food.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, it's weird. I've had some weird experiences, but I don't believe in ghosts either. But I will tell you some of the freakiest sounds ever. Is if you Google Bigfoot, like recordings of Bigfoots, they're really creepy sounds, and they're all different kinds of Bigfoot. Sometimes they're like screaming in agony, like, ooh! And sometimes they're just like, you know, roaring. But Bigfoots, I'm sorry, Bigfeetsmen, Bigfeetsmen sounds. Everyone should listen to go into that wormhole one night. Bigfeetsmen sounds. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, they're horrifying. I've heard a lot of YouTubes.
Yes, and they're horrifying.
And the Joe Rogan.
It's definitely not a human, or is it?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it could just be like a dude, but who would want to do that? Who like gets up one morning and they're like, all right, going out to the woods today and just yelling and hollering, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe in big feats.
I definitely believe in big feats.
Yeah, we know they're true. We see them out. Like at the clubs.
They're always hanging out.
Yeah.
And yeah, have you ever been to the Bigfeetsmen Museum in Santa Cruz?
No, have you?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, I've been there one time. I want to go more because like every few months they do like a benefit show and like bands play and like this guy Kepi Ghouli that I like a lot plays. Uh-huh. So I want to go to that. But I went one time and the guy was actually, he had recordings of Bigfeetsmen screaming when I was there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. I gotta go to, but I try to avoid museums because museums are for pussies. You know, art and all that stuff is. So I don't go to museums.
That's understandable. But I mean, you know, you could go and like just bully people and like be like, yeah. I appreciate this artifact more than you do. I'm tough.
Yeah, that's one place where I think I can bully people. You're right. Thanks, Parker. The library, the museum. That's about it.
Well, you know. I mean, you know, that's the point of bullying.
There's a game store by my house where people play Magic the Gathering in the back. I could bully them.
You could, yeah. Those guys, you might not want to bully those Magic card guys because a lot of times they own swords. And also there's like always a whole lot of them. And also they always have like girls that smell like cats and BO.
What? Are you that's a weird generalization to make.
Well, anytime I've ever played Magic and been heavily into it, all the girls we were partying with smelled like cats and BO.
What? Okay. I think maybe that's a symptom of like the area you were partying in then. I mean, playing Magic. Playing Magic and partying is not the same thing.
I believe it's the same thing.
Can I tell you, speaking of swords, that I'm going to skip. I don't know. I want to. Can I mention Disneyland right now? Is that okay on this?
I think
that's... Is this a safe space for Disneyland talk?
It's very safe. In fact, since it's just us two, I did want to talk a lot about Disneyland.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Well, my podcast isn't a safe space for Disneyland talk anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a safe space for much. It seems like anytime somebody wants to talk about something, the other guys don't want to talk about that thing.
Oh, well, Shelby like tries to shut down everything that's not him, but I digress. There's a sword. So you walk through the castle at Disneyland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you're walking from Main Street, and you're walking through the castle, and on the other side of the castle is Fantasyland. You walk in, and there's the majestic, merry-go-round in front of you. To the left of you is Snow White's castle, or Snow White's scary ride, and Pinocchio's daring journey. And to the right of you is like Mr. Toad and Peter Pan. But right when you walk through the tunnel, there's a store you can walk into, and I've never seen anyone buy anything at this store at Disneyland. And it's all daggers and like swords, like medieval, recreated swords. Or you could buy your family's coat of arms. That's all they sell at the store. So yeah, and they don't have my last name. They don't have that coat of arms there, but they're like full size swords where you can murder people.
Mm-hmm.
Daggers where you can murder. So I don't know who would go to Disneyland to buy that kind of accoutrement.
Yeah, it does seem to be a weird thing to buy at Disneyland. I would think that you would go to the Renaissance Fair or a store where they sell magic cards.
Yeah, when I would go to the Renaissance Fair, I'll buy a sword and like a Robin Hood hat.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I go to like those African heritage festivals and I'll buy a big dashiki.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go to Disneyland to buy swords. I tell you what I go to Disneyland to buy. Food.
Yes.
And drink. And happiness, and that's it.
What's the go-to food when you get there? Like, what do you have, like a thing that you like need to get when you're there?
I'm into a lot of stuff that you can eat at Disneyland. I'll tell you what you want to avoid is anywhere in downtown Disney. They have places there like the Amazon Cafe. Oh no, the Rainforest Cafe.
Oh yeah,
Rainforest Cafe is a heap of shit. Never eat anything there. It is the lowest of the low. And I don't even think they even give any money to save the rainforest. I just think it's an excuse for them to have like a monkey next to your table.
Whoa, they have real monkeys?
No. They're animatronic monkeys. They're not even good animatronic monkeys. They're just like move their arms up and down when it fake rains inside there. Avoid it. Don't worry. Everything I'm saying sounds amazing, but it's not. Okay. Next to that place is the ESPN Zone. Never go to the ESPN Zone. But, okay, this is what I there's an old-timey place inside Disneyland called the Palace Inn. It's on the right side right before you enter Tomorrowland. That place has a motherfucking Cobb salad that I ain't never had no Cobb salad like this anywhere in my life. The Cobb salad at the Palace Inn is what you go to eat.
That sounds good.
It is good. But my go-to thing, my first thing I do when I get there is I go have Manhattans. Because I like to get drunk when I'm at Disneyland, and I could tell you everywhere good to get drunk at, too. You want to go get Manhattans at a place called Carthay Circle, which is right in the middle of Disney California Adventure, which is the amusement park across the street
from
Disneyland, basically. Did you go to both parks?
I did.
Oh, cool.
I was there for 2 days, and I went to both. And California Adventure is weird to me.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're from California... Like, you probably don't want to go, like, party there because it's like you already have seen that stuff, probably. Hopefully. Uh-huh. Like, you've probably already been to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And if you come from, like, you know, South Africa or Japan and you want to go to Disneyland and, like, you don't want to drive the extra 45 minutes to go to the real Santa Monica, like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand that big fake pier that they have there and, like, all this, like, fake California stuff, like fake Big Sur and stuff. Like, you're almost there, just go to the real one.
But look, they have things that California Land, like A Bug's Land and Cars Land, which don't actually exist in real life. Okay,
that's true.
Here's what you got to know about the difference between Disneyland itself and Disney California Adventure is Disneyland actually has a little thing called magic there. It's everywhere. The magic is in the bricks and the walls and the floor that you're stepping on. Mm-hmm. Disney California Adventure doesn't have magic, but it has something else that's just as magical, and that's booze. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta use each sparingly, magic and booze.
Yeah, I do. I didn't drink any booze when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of hard to find, I think.
No, not after I give you the rundown, buddy. Right. And you know what? Parker Bowman, I know you're a lover of wine.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Robert Mondavi winery section of Disney California Adventure where you could get big old glasses of wine. I'll tell you, you go there, and I don't do this, but if you're doing some coug hunting, it's just all drunk moms, like mad at the world. That's the Robert Mondavi section right across the street from the fake Santa Monica Pier that Parker mentioned.
Sweet. Is it like, there's also like that fake cannery, like where it's like sort of like yeah. Monterey and Big Sur and all that crap. I bet they probably have wine there, I would think.
No, they don't.
Oh, wow.
But there is by the fake Santa Monica Pier, there's a bar called Ariel's Grotto. So it's a bar themed after a children's character, Ariel. But you go and get drunk there.
Man, that sounds sweet.
That place is pretty good, but it's not my favorite bar. Here's my favorite bars of Disneyland. This is where you want to go, okay?
Okay.
You want to go to get Manhattan's at Carthay Circle. They have this amazing, like, circle ice cube in there. It's amazing. And then you want to go inside the Disney California, the Grand Californian Hotel. There's a bar inside that hotel, and everyone that works there is really nice. They're all old Disney dorks that have been working there forever, and they pour a huge, huge, huge shot for you. And then there's another place, and Parker, I'm sad you didn't go here. I would love to go here with you sometime. It's in the Disneyland Hotel. It's called Trader Sam's, and it's a fake tiki bar. No, it's a real tiki bar. It's a tiki bar. And like if you order certain drinks there, they'll say, oh, there she blows. She's going down. There's like a drink called the Shipwreck. So it's like, and then they simulate a ship getting wrecked, and it starts like thunder goes off and they shoot water at you. It's a very good, enjoyable experience. And that one's open till 2 a.m. and their drinks are really, really crazy strong. I don't know. Do you like tiki bars? I know that's a little too rockabilly for you.
I've never been to one, although I do feel like everybody in my town is like a rockabilly kid. So I feel like I should like try to go to a tiki bar to fit in.
Yeah, you're from that weird part of California, huh, where rockabilly is still socially acceptable.
Yeah, they're really into rockabilly, and they're really into, like, just cruising.
Oh, okay, cruising. That's cool. You know, everyone do your own thing out there. Like Spike Lee said, do your own thing.
It's a big world. Takes all kinds, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you about Disneyland, about your experience there, because that was your first time there, right?
That's true.
What were you expecting? Were you expecting to hate it?
Kind of. Like, well, I didn't really, like, expect to hate it, but I, like, when I think about Disney, I think about, like, you know, Snow White and, like, Cinderella, and, like, I just kind of assumed it would be, like, a dumb place for kids to, like, just hug girls dressed up like Cinderella. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't really expect, like, any cool rides or anything, like, you know, I don't know. I didn't know really what I expected. I thought it was just gonna be, like, some laid-back, like, just basically like a kid's amusement park, because where I come from, there's a place called King's Island where there's like tons of huge roller coasters. But then like there's like a section called like Nickelodeon Land or whatever, where like the kids go. And I kind of expected Disneyland to be all that, like all the kids.
They go to Nickelodeon Land and they like hang out with Hey Arnold and stuff.
Yeah, they hang out with like dudes in Fairly Odd Parents costumes and like ride like baby Scooby-Doo roller coasters and stuff.
And they hang out with Mark Summers, host of Double Dare, and all that stuff. That sounds fun. No, I know of King's Island by listening to you guys talk about it so much, and it sounds magical.
Well, it's not so much magical. Like the rides are super super awesome. Like they have like tons of like huge roller coasters, which is like not really what Disneyland has.
No.
But so like that's kind of the appeal. But like there's not like a whole lot of magic to it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's really, you really get like the satisfaction I get out of riding those Disneyland rides is like you see like the craftsmanship that went into it, right? And like mm-hmm. Every detail. Like when you get into the Haunted, I've been on the Haunted Mansion about probably 1,000 times in my life and I still get spooked.
Yeah, I want to see the real Haunted Mansion because when I was there, it was like the Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, it was cool, I guess, but I want to see the real one. It was like a little too.
Yeah, the real one's way better.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And Johnny Depp's not around, running around in it. Oh, I'm not. Okay, so this isn't even a joke. They actually made a Johnny Depp robot.
Yeah.
For Pirates of the Caribbean.
There's like five of them. He's all over the fucking
five
thing.
Johnny Depps just like running around, and they stick out like sore thumbs because the other robots in the ride look like they're from the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. which they are. And fucking then there's Johnny Depp, Keith Richards hitting it up in the middle of the ride. But I don't know. I did you ride Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
What did you think about that ride?
I think that's definitely my favorite ride.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's so like it's so magical. Like you get in and A, it's a ride in the water, which is always fun and like adds kind of a fun element to everything. and is like laid back and chill. And then it's like just like 20 minutes long or whatever. And it's like, you can tell that like hundreds of thousands of scientists in the 50s got together and they're like, yo, we're going to make like the craziest, most up-to-date shit. And I'm sure people like back in the 50s thought they were in the future. And now it's still like, I mean, it's still cool, but it's like kind of like a cool retro kind of a cool where it's like, you know, I don't know, I guess somebody could probably make a robot that good nowadays, like in their basement if they wanted to. But because there's like 10,000 of them, mm-hmm. it's like such a cool, like throwback undertaking that I think it's really awesome.
I agree with you. And I've always felt that way. Like when I'm writing that ride, I'm always like, wow, look at all the work that went into this. But I'll tell you, I just went on it with my nephew and that ride is really fucked up and scary. Like nothing good that happens in that ride. Like, it's okay. First, this is how spoilers. If you've never been on the ride, people, there's a skeleton that starts talking to you and then you ride your boat through all these other skeletons. So it's just a bunch of dead people. And then like a big storm happens and then there's like a battle going on. It's like really dark for a child. And my nephew was freaking the fuck out. And I'm like, he's like, does this get better? When did the good guys appear? And they never appear. Like eventually the ride ends. So then there's just a bunch of drunk, fat, ugly, smelly pirates partying, which I guess is kind of cool, but you know, they're terrorizing a town and you see the townspeople being really scared. And then the ride ends with like you about to explode. There is no joyful like big ending here. So I don't know. I kind of changed opinions on Pirates of the Caribbean, but definitely everyone should go check it out to see the Johnny Depp robots.
Yeah, the Johnny Depp robots are weird, but yeah, I mean that's how it used to be. Man, Disney used to be kind of scary. Man, Snow White's scary, Fantasia scary as fuck.
Yeah,
like Disney used to not be afraid to just scare the shit out of you, man.
Yeah, Frozen is not scary. Okay.
I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't think so.
But I think it's cool that like that is one of the original rides and it still exists. And I think just the old stuff is really cool. You know, there's lots of rides there that aren't there anymore that used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There was one called Adventures Through Inner Space where you shrunk down and went inside someone's body.
Was it Martin Short's body?
Yeah. Yeah. And Monsanto, I love Inner Space, by the way. It's such a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Monsanto sponsored it. And, you know, they're the people poisoning all our food now.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was there? Monsanto also had a House of the Future you could walk into. There was that big building that now you know it. It's the one that houses the Iron Man costumes.
Yeah, I like that building.
You do? That's so weird. That's weird. You're the only person I've ever met that likes that building.
Man, I love that Iron Man, dude. It was some whimsical shit to be standing right next to fucking Iron Man.
So for people who don't know, at the end of Tomorrowland, there's this big circular building. It's basically like a trade show that's supposed to show you stuff of the future. And yeah, they have a Marvel floor where Parker is just going crazy, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Captain America there now, like inside, and you can hang out with him?
Yeah, he's there now. I wanted to go for the opening of that, but I didn't make it. But I think we're going to go this summer. And yeah,
okay. Let me know when you go. We'll go to Trader Sam's. But so it's basically like a trade show. But that building used to be a show called America Sings, Parker. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. This is a chilling story, everyone. Okay. When that ride, a little while after it first opened, this is one of the many great deaths at Disneyland. This is the best death. It's tragic, but there was a lady, a cast member working the ride, and that ride was, it was all robots on different scenes. So the scenes would change and the walls would move and like it was all mechanical. And she stepped in between the walls and she got crushed in between two walls to death. And everyone watching the show heard her scream.
That's frightening.
That's one of the many great deaths at Disneyland, right there where Iron Man happened.
That's scary to me.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I still like it.
It's a dark place. I mean, that's part of the appeal. There's some darkness going on there.
Yeah, that's true. I do really enjoy the darkness of it. Do you think that Walt Disney's body is cryogenically frozen under the ground there somewhere?
Definitely not. I think Walt was a bloated piece of fat, drunken shit when he died, and probably... He's buried. Like, why are you even asking me this? Like, you could Google where his gravesite is.
I just now went to Disneyland for the first time. I don't know this stuff.
Okay,
I didn't even know Walt Disney was a real guy until 20 minutes ago. I got to find out somewhere.
Myth busted. He is not frozen anywhere.
Oh.
But he did name names in during the Red Scare like a piece of shit.
He named the names of communists.
Yes. No, he just named the names that he created of characters he created, like Dopey, Sleepy. No, yeah. I mean, I could be factually wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure Walt Disney was he was on the wrong side of history on that one.
I don't know. Well, there's not like a lot of communism now, right? So he was really on like at least a neutral side of history. It's not like the communists took over.
You're right. Good job, Parker.
Do you also get into Disney movies and stuff, or is it just strictly Disneyland?
Yeah, no, I'm not into I'm not into the movies and stuff. I'll tell you, I do like those Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think those guys know how to tell a story, a Toy Story.
Ah, yes.
But no, I'm not too into the movie. Like, I enjoy revisiting like the old stuff just to see, like, because it's nice to see hand drawn animation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of arts, you know, like a lot of, you know, like hard work went into this. You can tell, but I don't get into it. I did like that "Let It Go" song from Frozen, and I did like it when John Travolta said Adele Dazeem.
I like that part too.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that person's real name was, but I still like the way that John Travolta said it.
You know, here's the thing about that is that he's like the most powerful Scientologist in all of Scientology, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like at the top, him and Tom Cruise are like basically the top Scientologists, like the king number one dudes. And he's an OT-8, and when you're an OT-8, you're supposed to have supreme command of language. Like anything you say is supposed to just, like, you're basically supposed to have 20 charisma when you're that high on the Scientology totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never supposed to make a mistake when you speak. So I don't know. No one called him out for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he also like is really into probably like taking pills and stuff before going on stage too. So that probably also not very good as far as being a Scientologist, but you know, that's how you get to say names completely wrong.
I guess that's how he do it.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Scientologists, like a year ago, I went to the Scientology place in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And talked to those guys and like told them I wanted to sign up. And
why did you do that? No.
Well, you know, why not? You know, I would get to live in Vegas.
I could give you 10 reasons why not right now, but go on.
Well, I would maybe get to live in Vegas, like live in like a cool farm or something, help out building spaceships. I would, if Jason Lee has taught us anything, I'd probably be able to get my own sitcom that lasts 8 seasons, even though it's not very good.
Who are you referring to?
Jason Lee. He was in that My Name is Earl show.
Oh, okay. Is he from Vegas?
No, but he's a Scientologist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That Scientology will definitely get you gigs in Hollywood. No lie.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I'm kind of into that. So I filled out the questionnaire, you know, like the survey to find out more about myself and to see what kind of Scientology guy I could be. Mm-hmm. And it took them like a year, but they finally just emailed me back like 3 weeks ago. So I'm excited to find out what they have to say.
No, now they have your email address, Parker. You really goofed on this one, buddy.
Well, I don't like what can they do? Can they take me? What can happen?
But they're just gonna not stop bothering you.
Well, that's not so bad.
It's okay. You know what? Lead them on. Like maybe you could get like Giovanni Ribisi to hang out with you or something and try to convince you.
Is he a Scientologist?
Oh God, he was born into Scientology, buddy.
Man, that's sweet. See, then I could get him to come on Junk Food Dinner and talk about Suburbia. That's like one of my favorite movies.
Parker, never mind. Hold on. Let me tell you some more about the incestuous Scientology stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Scientology. Okay. So one of the most powerful recruiters in Scientology is Giovanni Ribisi's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister is married to Beck, who was also born into Scientology, whose mom is also a very powerful Scientologist. Wrap your head around that.
That's weird.
I know.
But Giovanni Ribisi's sister was in Dazed and Confused, which is another one of my favorite movies. Oh my God, do you think
that's married to Beck?
Do you think that Richard Linklater is a Scientologist because he casts these guys in his movies so often?
No, I think he's a sympathizer, though. Hey, I know you've probably talked about it a million times, but now everyone's seen the trailer for Boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just see the trailer for the first time?
I did, yeah. It looks pretty fucking intense.
Yeah.
That's like a pretty intense undertaking to film a movie sporadically over like 18 years.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I just want to thank you for you invigorated my fandom of Richard Linklater, who I kind of overlooked before and kind of passed off those Sunset movies and Sundown movies before. But after hearing you talk about it, I revisited them, and he's the best. He's probably the best American director working today.
I would think so. And Scorsese's. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay. That's good too.
Okay.
But Linklater, he's so amazing. Like, I think a lot of people sleep on him because sometimes he makes like that fucking Jack Black. Huh?
He makes Bad News Bears sometimes.
Yeah, he makes Bad News Bears and like Rock of School of Rock and stuff like that. So I think people go, Linklater. But man, he's also making that hot stuff where two people just talk. And that's what I'm into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, if you love two people talking, you got to check out this movie called My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that, actually. I've never seen it, sadly.
Lloyd Kaufman produced it.
Did he really?
He had something to do with it. I don't know. I'm not like those guys you had on a couple of weeks ago who were Charles Band obsessives. I don't know everything.
Those guys know a lot about Charles Band. I respect that.
That was crazy.
They're really into Charles Band, which I respect as a person who's...
I totally get down with that.
Yeah. Have you seen My Breakfast with Blassie? It's a sort of spoof of My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah, I've seen everything that... I've obsessively tried to see everything, recorded piece of film that Andy Kaufman has made. And my favorite thing is definitely that documentary called I'm From Hollywood. It's documented the whole wrestling ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really something everyone should check out. And it stands up today. It was like, it's still weird and funny and awkward and stuff.
I agree. That's what made me love Andy Kaufman.
Freddie Blassie, man. He's the greatest.
Yeah, that's good stuff too. Have you seen Heartbeeps?
I've tried to sit through it a number of times. I've never been able to.
Yeah, it's not that good, but I don't know. It's kind of all right.
What are your tips? You sit through so many movies, nowadays a lot of people tell me, Corey, I just can't sit through a movie anymore. It's like a generational thing. Like, are people of a certain age, once the internet happened, just movies. What are your tips for sitting through a long movie that's not particularly enjoyable?
Well, the number one tip is to try to see it in the theater, because I think like if I have to watch a 3-hour movie like at home, I definitely get real bored. But if I'm in a theater, like I could spend 12 hours in a theater easy and not ever be upset.
Right.
So that's helpful. But man, if you're like I had to watch this movie Enter the Void the other week on Junk Food Dinner.
Oh boy, that movie.
Man, the movie's wild. It's like 3 hours long and it's like just like a screensaver basically for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you can definitely check your phone a lot. I think that will help.
Okay. Check. So tips are number one, see it in the theater. Number two, check your phone a lot.
Yeah. Try to watch it on like with the lights down.
Okay.
So that like if the screen changes, like you'll be able to tell better if the lights are down, if the screen changes. Because then you have to pay attention more. Like anytime like the screen changes or the scene changes, you have to pay attention more because that means something new is happening.
Oh, these are amazing tips.
And so I think that, if a scene goes on longer than, a couple of minutes, you can definitely start checking the phone because you're probably not going to get any new information. You really only get new information the first 3 minutes of a new scene, I think.
Okay, got it. Wow, this is all very important. I think... it should be documented on your wiki or something like that.
I'll try to get it out there.
Yeah, you should get it out there. No, this is important. I mean, people don't know how to watch movies anymore. And, we're going to lose it as a medium. People keep watching movies out there, okay? Stop reading books. Stop watching episodic television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
think... Take your Breaking Bads and your Mad Men and throw them out the window.
Yeah, I definitely think TV being good has ruined movies a lot because people go... Like people expect there to be like a break, or like they expect they can take a break like every 9 minutes where a commercial break would be. And like they can only pay attention for the 42 minutes that an hour long television show is on,
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think, I don't know. It seems like movies are getting much, much longer to kind of like fight the fact that you're paying $15 for a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
But I definitely think movies should be 80 minutes now, because a movie is not going to be better than Breaking Bad. And that's only 42 minutes a week.
Have you seen anything that was made recently that was 80, 90 minutes?
Man, not really.
Me neither.
It's like, yeah, all the superhero movies are like 2.5 hours long now. Like Wolf of Wall Street's 3 hours. Like that American Hustle movie I saw was like 3 hours long or something.
Oh,
like
that movie was, I know, I think you like that movie. I did not like that movie. Was a chore for me to sit through.
Yeah. I like some parts of it, but I don't really like it that much.
Okay.
I think it's like, I don't understand how people thought it was the best movie of the year. It's like, if Scorsese was not good at making movies, that's what that would be. Like, I just don't understand why people in a year when Scorsese came out with like a really good movie, I thought, why would everybody would praise this like lame throwback cover band version of a Scorsese movie?
God, now that Ebert's dead, I'm fine. I'm glad that you're alive, because now we have him living through you.
I appreciate that you say that. Although I like Jason movies, so we're not totally simpatico, me and Ebert.
Did Ebert not like Friday the 13th movies?
No, man. He tried to get those movies like banned and shit.
What a piece of shit. Yeah. I'm glad he's dead. Rot. I hope he rots in hell.
Yeah, I know. Like, what a shitty thing to do.
Yeah. What are you going to do, though? Oh, okay. So back to Disneyland for a second. Did you ride Indiana Jones?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, you got to go. Next time you go, got to ride Indiana Jones. Okay.
Yeah. I missed Mr. Toad, too, which I want to do.
Mr. Toad's not... I would say it's only essential for to see an old, really old thing. It's not that good.
Yeah.
People shit themselves over the Peter Pan ride. It's really not that good. I don't know why they shit themselves over it. Did you go to Cars Land? Did you ride the Cars Land ride or go to Cars Land?
No, I walked through the Bugs Life Land, but I didn't go to Cars Land.
Here's the thing. Cars, maybe one the shittiest movie of our generation. No, Shrek is, but it's like, you know. As far as animation goes,
mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I got a burp. But Cars Land is the most amazing place in the whole world. And I really recommend you go there.
It looks also, cute.
Go ahead.
It looks cute. Like just the way it looks, the way that it looks exactly like the movie, I find that cute.
I feel like I'm a fucking car, a cartoon car when I'm there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Cars Land ride, Radiator Springs, is... so magical and insane, and I don't know why it appeals to me so much. Everyone should ride it. It is the greatest thing in the world.
I'll check that out. What kind of car would you be if you were a Cars person?
An El Camino.
That sounds good.
Yeah, an El Camino, and I'd go, honk, honk, hey, I'm here. But, another tip is they serve Racer 5 and Red Rocket beer in Cars Land.
That seems they're making the combination for having a lot of kids grow up to be drunk drivers. That doesn't sound good. True.
And Racer 5 is really, it gets you drunk really fast. So if you want to get drunk real fast, go to Cars Land, everyone.
Yeah, especially if you're 6 and you like the Cars movies. You mm-hmm. get real so drunk from that.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where you go. You walk in Cars Land, everybody. I'm just giving your listeners the tips of where to drink. This is a good guide to being drunk in Disneyland. But you walk past everything, and right before Radiator Springs, there's a little 50s cafe. And you walk in there, and you just walk right in, and you order yourself a big old beer, and they'll give it right to you. And it's the greatest thing in the world. Drinking beer inside Disney. California Adventure. I'm not going to say Disneyland. It's very different.
It is very different. What do you think about the Matterhorn?
Listen, there's a Sasquatch inside.
Mm-hmm.
Big feet. That's all I need to have fun.
Yeah, I think it's super fun. I like seeing that Big Feetsman. It's a snow Big Feetsman, not one of the normal kind.
No, yeah. It's a white one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the Matterhorn. I think it's great. A tip that you want to know about the Matterhorn is the left side is much faster than the right side.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's if you want fast, then you go on the left side. If you want like a bumpy, scary ride, you go on the right side. Did you see any shows when you were there, like World of Color or Fantasmic?
Yes, I saw one of them, the one by the fake Santa Monica.
Okay, that was World of Color. Did you, was your heart filled with wonder and magic?
Yeah, that shit, like, is pretty intense, I thought. Right. Like, it's definitely not some stuff, like, just for, like, some stupid little kids. Like, you can definitely feel that, like, 1,000 engineers spent millions of years designing that. Like, it's pretty intense. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But, I mean, it's still for babies. Let's get real.
Yeah.
The other show is called Fantasmic. which is the most, also, like, it's for babies, but amazing. Mickey slays this dragon that's huge. It's like a fucking 40-foot dragon that is breathing fire, and it's, you could feel the fire, and it's really scary. It looks like something out of a Dio video, to be honest. And then when Mickey slays the dragon, spoiler, every Disney character ever comes out on the boat and sings and dances, and it's really intense. And so you got to see Fantasmic next time you're there.
Sweet. I'll check that one out.
Please do. Oh, so you're planning a trip this summer?
Yeah, we got the season passes.
Yeah. All right. All right, everyone out there in Pool Party Radio Land, we're going to do this. We're going to meet up with Parker in Disneyland.
It's going to be the big podcast meetup where we all watch.
No, some podcasts, like a Prairie Home Companion, they have a cruise where all their listeners could go hang out on the cruise. So this could be like the Pool Party Radio cruise.
Yeah, I have a friend that's going on the Sound of Young America. Or what, like whatever their network is, cruise, which sounds weird.
End your friendship with that person immediately. Just kidding, buddy. Whoever you are out there, don't do that.
Yeah.
But yes, podcasts have their own cruises now. There's something wrong about that.
It seems antithetical to the whole medium, but
I can't wait to go on that Mark Maron cruise or the Joe Rogan cruise.
I would go on that Joe Rogan cruise. Speaking of Joe Rogan, I have a Joe Rogan question to ask you.
Don't ask me. I don't listen to that shit.
Well, it's not about Joe Rogan. It's I'm channeling him as I ask you this. But we've
got you.
Getting drunk at Disneyland is awesome. What about LSD?
No, it's not, because it's just too intense. Like, I don't know. LSD, I think it should be in the nature or like in your room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a supermarket for a second and laugh and then come back home. But, I mean, I haven't done psychedelics in, you know, many years. I know you used to do a shit ton of acid, right?
That's true, yeah.
But, like, okay, did you do acid while you were in school?
I have done acid in school, yeah.
So, like, you see, like, it's, I mean, do you remember, like, the way your teachers looked and stuff? It was not normal. I mean, of course it wasn't normal, but it wasn't something, like, good. It wasn't a positive thing.
Yeah, being around authority figures is bad, and there's, like, everybody who works at Disney would probably be an authority figure.
Exactly. Know? And I've told this story before on my show, but I did go there a number of times on mushrooms, which that's really good. And you don't want to overdo it. Just eat it like a couple mushrooms. So it was a pretty empty day. It was like during the school season, and there was no line on Space Mountain. So I just kept going on Space Mountain over and over again and just like smiling, you know, it was just the best thing in the world. And just the sensation, you know, did you go on Space Mountain?
I did. Yeah.
Space Mountain rules, right?
It's pretty good. That's the one I was afraid I was going to be scared of, because I rode it at Disney World when I was 8 and it made me cry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, buddy. You're okay.
I'm good now. I thought it was fun now.
Good. Oh, poor young Parker.
Yeah, I know.
Crying into your beard at 8 years old.
Well, my grandma made me take my shave. Afterwards, she made me shave my beard because she's like, oh, you're crying about Space Mountain. You're not a man. You need that beard back.
Oh, it's so sad. All right. So I just kept going. About for the fourth or fifth time I went on Space Mountain, I walked out to walk back in. And this young, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy who looked like he was the most handsome boy. He looked like Ricky Schroeder. He might have even been wearing, like, a members-only-esque jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Came up to me and said, hey, you know where to get any LSD? Like that. Like, and I just looked at him and laughed and walked away. But that kid had to be an undercover, right?
I would think so. Or, like, a psychic, right? Either that or, like, he's...
walked up straight up to me. He said, hey, man. Wait, what did you say? Sorry.
He might have been a psychic who, like, legitimately wanted LSD, but he knew that you would know about it because he was a psychic.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I probably looked really suspicious, and then they sent in their kid. But, of course, Disneyland would have, like, undercovers that look like, you know, like Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch out for undercovers there, everyone.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that, like, they're suspicious of anybody who's, like, a 30-year-old dude just partying at Disneyland by themselves, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, those are the guys who are, like, super high.
Yeah. So I gotta stop doing that. I gotta stop being the 30-year-old guy partying by myself at Disneyland.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I want to live that life, too. I want to live closer. This is the life I want to live, where I just go to fucking Disneyland every day.
When I was a teenager, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do when I'm an adult. Now I'm an adult and I do it, and it's not – I don't know.
I think it's cool. I don't know, man. To heck with these haters, because I would be right there, man. We talked on Pool Party a while back about, well, it's Disney World that's doing this, but they're going to have condominiums that you can buy and you can live in Disney World, and that sounds fucking rad.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, I'll tell you why. It does in theory, but in practice, it ends up just being like a really slummy, weird situation like Anaheim. Here's the thing about Anaheim. It's a shit pile. Like, there's this magical place in the middle of this shit pile. Mm-hmm. Everything around Anaheim is just pretty, like, low income and trashy. And I'm not making fun of the poors here, Parker. Stop looking at me like that.
All right, Mitt Romney.
But everyone around there are people who live there because they want to live near Disneyland. What is the time?
Well, we can go a little longer, as is tradition.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that I don't think I'd ever want to live near any sort of Disney facility, and especially on Disneyland. Like, I don't mean Disneyland. I mean Disney-owned land is what I mean.
But it would be right inside the park. So you wouldn't
I don't know. I mean, you like Las Vegas a lot, right?
I do.
But would you live in Las Vegas?
I don't know. I kind of want to. Like, well, I mean, I live in like the shittiest fucking possible place now, so it's like easy for me to be like, yeah, I would love to live in Las Vegas. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think it would kind of ruin my life because I'd always just constantly be out like doing shit that I, you know, wasn't supposed to be doing at 4 a.m, like playing slot machines and count money and stuff.
Hanging out with blue men.
Yeah, hanging out with those blue men, going to that pawn shop, trying to hang out with Chumley. And, like, all that kind of shit. So I think it could ruin my life. Same thing with, like, I definitely could see being like, oh, I got to go to work in 20 minutes, but I'll just ride the Matterhorn real quick and then just spend the whole rest of the day riding the Matterhorn.
No, and I actually know people like that who are like, oh, I'm just going to pop into the park for 30 minutes. I'm like, wow, that's fucking dedication. I'm the opposite. Like, I like Disneyland a lot, but I need it in doses. Like, a day or two is perfect, and then it's time to go home and not see it again. Vegas is the same for me. Like, I can't, like, I love Vegas for a day and then I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I've stayed there for like 5 days is like the longest I've been there, I think. And then like things start to feel normal about Vegas after like 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think if you're in Vegas and like all that shit feels normal, then like you gotta go, like you gotta go back to like a normal human place of living.
What do you do, Parker Bowman, in Vegas? You gamble, right? What do you play? Slots?
Yeah, I play the slots. I don't like gambling a whole lot. Like, my wife, she could be like she'll be like, hey, I'm going to go gamble just a little tiny bit while you're in the shower. And then, like, by the time I'm out of the shower, she'll be, like, back in the hotel room, and she'll be like, I need another $800. Like, she's, like, that kind of gambler. Like, she's real super into it.
Oh, you bet, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm embellishing a little bit, but yeah. Like, she's, like, that kind of gambler. But I'm the kind of gambler where, like, I'll bet, like, you know, 5 cents at a time and just keep getting, like, cheap drinks. And, like, that's what I'm into. Like, I don't really like spending money on it because I always lose. But I like drinking for free, and I like the atmosphere of gambling.
Yeah, I do, too, actually. It makes me feel really, like, alive inside. Do you, which is a problem, I think. Do you guys go to shows and stuff?
Yeah, we've been to a few. I really want to see The Evil Dead. Every time I go there, we try to see The Evil Dead, but it never works out.
Me too. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, it would be super fun.
I want to see Evil Dead, and I want to see Britney Spears while she's there.
That would be fun, too, in a sort of weird way.
It's Britney. I'm Britney, bitch.
She does say that. She also says that you got to work.
Oh.
In that one song about the Bugatti. But I saw a real sexy show this time about vampires who, like, dance and sing. And that was pretty cool.
Sexy vampires, huh?
They were like wicked sexy vampires. They're no longer there. They were at the Stratosphere, but I think they were like replaced by like some like pinup girl who like all the tiki bar guys are really into. And yeah. But like the sexy vampires was cool. But there's this point where the sexy vampires come out into the crowd and they look for somebody to take up into the crowd with them. And for the 3 minutes and 20 seconds that they were doing that, I had a goddamn panic attack because I don't ever want to be on stage for any reason at all.
No.
So that was scary. That was the scariest thing that ever happened in my life.
I just saw the new Jim Jarmusch movie based on that show, starring Tilda Swinton and Loki.
Oh, yeah. I heard you talking about that on your radio show.
That's all the sexy vampires you can want in one movie.
So many sexy vampires.
Oh, God. We're living in the year. You know, you thought last year was the year of sexy vampires or the year before? Nope. This is the year, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Evil Dead, the musical, really bad, and I don't know why. Because it sounds like
by all accounts, it's going to be terrible, but I want to see it.
I hear good things. I have the soundtrack and it's really good. It's fun.
Do you listen to it often?
I do. I actually listen to it in the car, like a normal music.
You're a nerd.
I don't know. I like those musicals. I like weirdo musicals.
Do you like Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, I like the Mr. Show version of it, though.
Oh, it's, you got to get into Jesus Christ Superstar, dude.
I'll try.
Yeah, give it a shot. The original record only, featuring the singer of Deep Purple. There you go.
Sweet. I'll check it out. I've actually never seen it, so I don't know if I like it or not. I will try it. I like weirdo musicals. I think they're fun.
Well, listen to me for a second.
Okay.
No one saw it when it first came out because it was just an album. It was just a concept album.
Okay? Oh, I didn't know.
So you can be like the rest of the world and fall in love the way the rest of the world did.
I'll do it. That sounds like the way I consume, pop culture anyway, is much, much later than the rest of the world, but in the same exact way, just 30 years later.
And that's why we love you.
I appreciate that.
You're now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flips.
Pod Awful.
.net.
Are you receiving me?
Oh, I love the Steve Harvey hosted Family Feud more than anything.
He gets so mad when people say nipples.
Or like, they're like... I don't know. They always have weird words for like jizz on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does your husband expel his toothpaste on you in the morning? Top 10, you know. Like, I don't know.
I do like that show. Speaking of nipples, I said nipples a second ago because I have nipple written down here on my notes because I learned on your show that Shelby Cobra's nipple is pierced.
Oh, God. Why are you bringing up everything I don't want to talk about? Okay, go on.
I don't know. That was shocking.
So disgusting, to me. Right? Think about his nipple being pierced.
It's so weird. Did he get that done at a KMFDM concert? What's going on with him?
Yeah, he did.
All right. That's all I wanted to know.
I don't know. Like, if you got your nipple pierced in the 90s, wouldn't you have it out by now, by 2014, wouldn't you say?
Could be. I don't know. I have no room to talk, actually. I have a lip piercing, so I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, you do, huh?
Maybe in some circles, that's the same amount of making funness. I got it done at a Blink 182 concert.
I still have my belly button pierced and then like a tribal sun around my belly button. I guess I should do something about that.
Just like Batista, the wrestler. That's where you got the idea.
He has that?
He does have that.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. I did not know that reference.
He's,
oh, boy.
He's your favorite wrestler now.
I guess so.
Well, now that we've learned your favorite
wrestler. Now that CM Punk is gone, I know that. See, that's a fact I know about wrestling. CM Punk's gone.
You're catching on. Soon you're going to be a hardcore fan.
Okay.
You've already got the tattoo to prove it.
Yeah.
But now that we know who your favorite wrestler is, I would say that's the end of the show. We learned a lot today, I feel.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Parker. And I miss you, Frisbee, and Kate Bush sucks.
Wait, is Kate Bush the one that he wants to see, or is that not the one he likes?
No, that's the one he likes.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. I'm indifferent on this.
That's music for drama club dorks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it sucks, too. check out Corey on the Illogical Contraption Show. What is the website for this?
Just go to radiovalencia.fm/illogicalcontraption or just put it in Google and it'll come up. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, everything.
What about your Twitter? Where can the kids get you?
Follow me at Ask Chalky. Yeah, for all your Anthony Kiedis updates, that's the place to go. And I have a new Twitter that I want people to follow. It's called No Views YouTubes, which is plural views and YouTubes, which I shouldn't have done. But it's No Views YouTubes, and it's a bunch of YouTubes that I find that have like no views or less than 100 views that I think people should check out.
I actually watch a lot of these when you post them late at night, and I think they're super fun.
Thank you. There'll be more to come.
Excellent. I like these. You get a lot of people, with interesting talents or interesting political views, and I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for a Sonic the Hedgehog fan just talking into their video camera late at night, and I think people should take notice of them.
Yeah. If they are taking the time to do it, we can take the time to watch it.
Thanks, Parker.
Mm-hmm. Follow me on Twitter at Final Parker. Follow the show at Pool Party Radio, although we like barely ever tweet. So mostly just follow me and Frisbee at SawFan667. go to poolpartyradio.com. That's where we have all the episodes. Find us on iTunes. Leave us some ratings and reviews, because that's basically the only reason we do the show. It's for that love, that sweet, sweet love. Listen to Junk Food Dinner. It's another podcast I do. It's about cult movies. It's very fun. And I think that's everything. So this is Parker for Corey saying thanks for having fun.
Forgive me for being so weak, but that is who I am. Goodbye.
What difference is that gonna make? I just want to get out of here. I hate this place. It's driving me crazy. I can't even sleep.
I've got to break loose. I've got to stop talking to myself.
Get a girlfriend, have a house or a car or something. Have a little money in the bank and a job. Not much.